Really hate Glenn.
Have anything you heard that would change your recommendations?
No.
We should have him before lunch.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
Yeah, just remember.
I didn't say who him was.
So you got a staff recommendation for allocations to both firms. I'd be happy to take any questions about either organization at this point.
A question on the fees. I just want to double check. See, it looks, if I'm reading this right, Oak Trees would be 1.5, and Cedar Guff is, you know, could be as low as 0.5. Is that right?
So on the management fee.
On the management fee. So 100 basis points difference between the two of them? You want to think about that for a minute?
Yes.
No, good.
See, the difference being, because Cedar Guff is a fund of funds, you're also paying that underlying manager fee. So it's an accretive fee. You don't necessarily see, when you commit to the Cedar Guff fund, they're going to go out and they're going to commit to somebody else. They have to pay that manager's fee out of the capital balance of the fund. So you do have that drift of, there's 50 basis points at the Cedar Guff level, which plus whatever Cedar Guff is paying to the underlying manager.
So you're saying that they're on a par then?
Yeah, when we built some models and we had Milliman go through this, and we said assume a 15% rate of return. Take a look at, you know, based upon our experience with the original, with Cedar Guff Fund 1, with the underlying management fee, what level was?
Sorry, folks, I thought it was on silent.
Royal baby.
Well, maybe a major is here. Watch out. Rocky.
So we said take a look at what the underlying fund fees were for Fund 1, plus Cedar Guff's portion, plus the carried interest. And if we're in the mid-teens, we're looking at about similar fees for both funds, for Oak Tree or for Cedar Guff, for the all-in level.
That's important to know. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if I understand correctly, the proposal is basically a target of 155, somewhere between 100 and 175.
Right.
Split, if we went with the recommendation, split for distressed.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the budget we came up with, the potential funds that could be allocated this year based upon where our current assets were, based upon an oversubscription to get closer to your private targets, we felt comfortable that we could deploy up to $175 million. Looking at these two funds, you know, we said, do we want to go to the full 175? We stepped back from that. You know, we said at the 150 level, we're pretty comfortable there.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
You'll note that we did phrase the language as an up to. If the board's comfort level is not where staff comfort level is, by all means, let's explore a lower dollar number.
Any distinct advantages one way or another between the two approaches?
You know, I think the Cedar Guff is very interesting. I like the fact that they're probably going to get more on-the-ground knowledge within Europe. They're going to have a lot more exposure to continental Europe. You heard from Oak Tree that, I mean, they're going to be UK-focused. They're not going to see, they don't necessarily have the presence on the ground, and they're relying on their own people, Oak Tree is. They don't have the presence on the ground in continental Europe the way that the underlying managers that Cedar Guff will use does. I think that's probably the biggest differentiating factor. If, as many real estate managers have told me, continental Europe is about 3 to 5 years behind the United States in terms of the real estate cycle, there's probably going to be a little bit more deal flow there. I wasn't thrilled about Jim Coral's answer of he'll come back and ask for more allocation to Europe if he needs it. To me, you ask for the allocation you need when you set the fund up.
Yeah.
But they'll probably, I think, ultimately, Cedar Guff will have greater exposure to Germany and northwestern continental Europe. I think Oak Tree will have more exposure to the UK. I think both of them are going to be still overwhelmingly domestic.
Yeah, my sense is that Europe is kind of, Western Europe in particular, kind of behind the American curve, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, got into the problem later, will get out of the problem later, and as a result, the opportunities may be greater, not greater. It'll be a more target-rich environment, I guess, there than, it's not at the expense of the American market. I think there are plenty of opportunities.
Yeah,
there,
and I like the theory behind that. I like the idea behind that. The problem I have the only hesitancy I have is the ECB is not the Fed. The ECB does not have control over every country's member banking system.
No kidding.
Yeah. There's going to be a great disparity in terms of the banking reactions from the Netherlands, from Germany, from the UK. I mean, we've seen the UK banking system in disarray and become state-owned partially, and now in the process of sorting itself out. Germany has been very quiet. Yeah. I'm just saying we're hands-off with this. So I agree. I think there's going to be more, theoretically, more opportunity set there. How much of it becomes available to either manager, that's an open question mark, but I think they're going to be more active there than they were in the preceding funds for either firm.
For the purposes of discussion, I'd be willing to make a motion.
Okay.
To split it with $100 million to Sigular Guff and 50 to Oaktree.
I'm sorry, 50. So 75-75?
No, I was actually skewed towards Sigular. But
so 100 million, 50 million.
Right, 150. Okay. So you're
instead
on
instead of 75.
Yeah. Did I say 75?
Well, that was originally that what I asked.
Is it split?
It's no, 100. Well, you don't have to split it down the middle.
What you said.
Let me introduce you. You can split things 90-10 if you wanted to. I'm just proposing it.
You want to be more specific? If you're,
yes.
You want to go with the recommendation, the 80-70? Okay. Or
some caveat there would be, think about it in these terms. The board has had a comfort level at roughly 10% of any given fund. We've gone beyond that, obviously, historically. And recently, we've taken a look at bigger numbers here. Sigular Guff is targeting $750 million. Gut feeling they're not going to get there. They're probably going to get to $600 million. So if you commit $100 million, you're going to be a sixth of the fund.
You're right. Okay.
And you need to understand that that's it's not good or bad,
yeah.
But you're a much bigger chunk.
Okay.
What about Oaktree?
Oaktree, they'll be a $2 billion plus fund.
Yeah.
Oaktree's got the reputation. Oaktree is a very storied value investment firm. They've got a tremendous track record. Quite frankly, they can raise capital at the drop of a hat. Sigular Guff is very, very good as well, but they tend to be a much nichier place. They made their name in Russia, and they made their name in some Brazilian investments and some domestic ones, but off the beaten path ones. I don't think they're going to have as easy of a time raising capital.
I'm open to any amended motion.
Well, the reverse of what you said, perhaps.
All right.
Is it, you're making that as a...
Well, I'll make a motion that we give Sigular 50 and Oaktree 100.
With Richard gone, can I second it?
Yeah.
I'll second it.
So rather than the staff recommendation of 75 and 50, you're doing...
No, the staff recommendation is for 80 and 70.
No, 80 and 70. We're doing 50...
80 and 70.
80 to Sigular Guff and 70 to Oaktree.
We're doing 67-33.
So, Rusty, is you want to give more now to Oaktree?
Yes.
Just to mention, there's a fee break at Sigular Guff, and the level is
70 million.
Oh, it is.
So if we go below 70 million with Sigular Guff, we're going to the fees 80. Increase.
Can I second that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're
going
to second that, Kate?
Yeah,
I'll so 80 to Oaktree and 70 to Sig Miller.
That's correct.
Sigular.
Sigular Guff.
I'll second Rusty's motion because I trust our treasurer.
You get third if you'd like to.
You get third.
I didn't hear second.
Are we running into any fee breaks?
With Oaktree?
With Oaktree.
Well, we just gave more money.
No.
No. Okay.
With the downside of Oaktree is there's, because they can raise capital relatively easy.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're coming into the final close. Our negotiating power is limited there.
Limited. Okay. Any, John?
It comes under discussion. Asked Tim to respond. I'm still trying to absorb John Brady's presentation and all of it that made or didn't make sense to me. One of the things that kept jumping out is that they had private access to banks and other lenders who the bank or other lender would be willing to sell the loan that the bank carries at 100 to them at 50, whereas the market would pay more. And I keep thinking, why would anyone do that? Why would a bank sell to them at 50 when the market might be 75? How real is all this?
It's what we've realized in the first fund. It sounds too good to be true sometimes. It's what they've actually been doing. It's what we've seen manifested. We've looked at the purchase prices of what was in Fund 5. It's similar to what Sigler Guff has been doing. The volume of the issue has clearly overwhelmed some of the larger banks. And they can shop it. Shopping it takes time. Shopping requires engaging a broker. Shopping probably requires putting some money back into the property, some minimal amount of money back into the property. It requires bank staff time. Selling it back to the borrower where a relationship already exists, where somebody understands the property, it's simpler, it's faster. So Oak Tree's bread and butter is saying the borrower is already there. The borrower probably built the property or has owned the property for a period of time. If we can come back alongside them and become the major equity owner but keep them in place, the bank's more willing to work with that person. We just become the institutional capital that backs up that borrower who got in trouble. And by the way, we call the shots now.
I took it as, let's say, I don't know if it was 75, they can get it 50. The bank, let's say, to hire people do it was 10, so maybe something along those lines. Anything, you know, before 60 is good to them. They're making a profit, anything over that. That's kind of how I got it.
Well, it also affected their core business. If you take back a distressed asset, right, then you have to have an equal amount before you can do anything with that. So it changes your whole asset, you know, the borrowing ratio. I think that was the biggest thing I got out of that was that the bank is disincentivized to take it back. It's easier to do a deal with somebody else.
Yeah, you can't shop the market while somebody else still owns it.
Right.
You know, I'm more familiar with all this in residential, but banks have been holding on to underwater houses, houses for a long time, in mass numbers, for years. They don't seem to be in any big hurry to do that. And basically, thank you. You responded in basically the way I was seeking that it is rational, and they in fact have been doing it. That's it's just contrary to most of my personal experience.
Yeah, I think there's popular perception that the banks are doing nothing. Well, the banks aren't doing nothing. The banks are moving at a snail's pace. They are transacting. They are selling portfolios of non-performing loans, both in commercial and residential. Things are happening. We've seen them on the market. We've had managers purchase these pools of capital and are going through the workout process now.
Where do we find the end of the motion?
I think George Sigler's probably said it better. This time, it's just taking longer than we've ever seen. With the Fed actions, and they're making it easier for the banks to drag their feet. They're dragging their feet. They're not doing nothing. There's deal flow out there. It's limited, and sometimes it's proprietary, but it's out there.
Okay. Any other discussion or comments, questions? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
May I just verify that that is subject to due diligence.
And contract negotiations and legal review.
And authorize me to sign it.
Yes. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
Thank you.